Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Mraz. It was another day of takes, laughs, and memorable moments. Keep it locked here. It's the best of the DA show.
Despite the words of Howard Beck yesterday calling these glorified exhibitions, we had to rub our hands together and get into the NBA's restart. And how apropos, if you will, the Pelicans finish off a game with Rudy Gobert dishing a couple free throws to beat the Utah Jazz. The same Rudy Gobert between him and Tom Hanks that basically led to the U.S. shutting down 4 months ago. We have that. We have, of course, Lakers-Pelicans, where the fans in attendance were Kyle Lowry with a mask and Damian Lillard with a mask, and then the digital boards everywhere. There's plenty to get into of how the NBA looked, sound, felt, and what we can expect going forward. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Kawhi steps back. The Lakers have Paul George. George is out near half court. 2 seconds left. 1 second left. Three for the win. And no good. Was a foul called? No. And the Lakers win it. 103-101, Paul George is livid.
It felt like a real game to me. You know, two teams battling. Obviously, it's always a good game between us two teams. And, you know, the more and more that we get used to this arena, the more easier it'll be. But I can't complain for the first game.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That's John Ireland, Lakers radio, followed by Anthony Davis, who was, I think, the best player on the floor between all four teams last night, dishing 34 points. All right, so we start where we would start with baseball, where, of course, we would start with hockey, and eventually we'll start with the NFL. How does it look without fans? And, yes, we've gotten a taste of it in scrimmages, but it's hard to really get a feel for the building and everything until the lights come on and you play for real. Here's my early takeaways. I think they've done a good job capturing the court and spacing out the benches to actually make it look more full for those first three rows. I was a little curious about how digital fans on those big screens would look, because remember, we did not see how that would look in the scrimmages. I personally love the fact that they didn't just zoom video a bunch of faces with foam fingers, kind of like Roger Goodell did with the NFL draft, and we're evolving this thing. They had fake seats that these people were in. And even behind the baskets during free throws, they're waving and going nuts, almost like they'd have thunder sticks. And as weird as it is, but everything this year is always going to start with as weird as it is, I thought it kind of worked. I thought they were separated as if regular seats would be separated. I thought if you're going to be into it like that and you want to take part in being one of these fans, and I'm not exactly sure if you sign up, if you do it through being a season ticket holder, I really don't know how they're working this thing. It's not as if I got some kind of press release to do this for the Nets as a Net fan, but I thought it looked pretty good on TV, and I'm shocked. You know, Bogus, I can only equate this to, and this is going to sound so stupid, but when you ever notice when you take a picture in your phone, instead of doing a screenshot, like a picture of your computer or a picture of the TV, it always has like that grainy look. So the idea that through TV, we could see people on their computer through another screen, and it's totally crystal clear in HD, and everything looks completely normal. I found to me that look on TV to be a win. Yes, at times it looked empty and spacious on the floor, but it kind of gave me a little bit of an Olympic feel. So let's just start there. How do you think it played and looked on TV?
Yeah, I thought it looked really good. I thought it looked probably as good as it can, and similar to what the NHL has done in Toronto and Edmonton, I think they've done a really good job of kind of killing all the dead space in the arena. I mean, the end behind each baseline where there's a lot of space and nobody there, where there would normally obviously be fans and a lot of photographers and the kid with the sweat mop, like that's some dead space that you see consistently but even that you get used to. The only really shot that kept catching my eye, and they only show it really at the beginning of the game when they're doing the opening tip, is like the shot courtside, court level, looking across where you can see like the low budget, like chintzy temporary scoreboard between the video fans and above the press box for the game employees, basically the penalty box, I should say. Like that, you can see that that's makeshift and not a normal setup. But otherwise, I think it looks really good. I thought the fans, while you know it's not always clear and they do kind of get all digitized and kind of mesh together, but I thought it looked cool. I liked that they were live, not the digital video game folks we've seen on Fox, and it was a good touch behind the baskets too for free throws. I thought all things considered, the NBA has done a really good job down there making this look like they're not playing in an empty gym.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, Howard Beck, and we keep teasing this, talking about the glorified exhibitions and really kind of killing the hype for these games back, I think, again, you take away last night, as far as on the court goes, look, the teams looked clunky, they looked rusty. We ended up getting two pretty dramatic games with dramatic finishes, close games, which the NBA is going to hope for because that's going to keep your attention. Let's face it, Utah and the Pelicans, as I said, necessarily didn't have the buzz I had, but I was into it. I mean, the fourth quarter was fantastic, back and forth they went. So while the gameplay was clunky, I think the closeness and tightness, and you still got a score in the low hundreds where you kind of really is that sweet spot for the NBA in both games, I think that hit on something. Anthony Davis looked most prepared to play. Paul George looked a little eh. Zion Williamson only playing 15 minutes. Okay, he was great in those 15 minutes. You would have wanted a little more from him. Your boy Joe Ingles looked really well, really good. So there were some clunky chemistry issues, but on individual efforts, I thought the players were there. I think over this 8-game stretch that each team plays, there is going to be, in my opinion, the haves and the have-nots. I think the games between two awesome teams that also appear on national TV first and foremost, and I'm talking about TNT or ESPN, I think they're going to pop. I think the production level behind everything is going to look really good. I mean, that TNT music in and out, the fact that Harlan and Iron Eagle are actually at the games and not having to call them from satellite places, I think absolutely helps. I really don't know off the top of my head because later on we're going to get an ESPN doubleheader, or even a triple header, I think. I don't know if any of the ESPN announcers are there, but when the TNT guys are there, I think it's going to work really, really well. I would assume Breen and Van Gundy and company are there.
But maybe Breen, but I know that Ryan Rucco is not there. Adam Amin is not there because they have other things to do, so they can't be in the bubble. Breen, since he's NBA specific, could theoretically be there if he wanted to be inside for the next 3 months, but I don't know if he actually is.
So he could just parachute in, come the playoffs, and not even be there for the first 2 weeks because they're going to need him for the finals. You can't have him crawl. Right. If you have Harlan and everybody in there, the finals, you can't have Breen from behind. But I think the guys at TNT being there really, really help matters. And as far as on the court picking these four teams to start the season, let me just say this. You have force-fed the Pelicans into our faces, and I've been all over this, and I think you love it with Zion Williamson, and that's fine, and I think Zion's great. We're going to get into a little bit what really is the ceiling for Zion after watching him again last night and how many eggs the NBA has in his basket. But it should be noted. I mean, we've put the Pelicans here and tried to bend the rules as much as possible on how to make the postseason and how to get to this 8-seed tournament. In theory, I guess the Pelicans are 3.5 games back from achieving that. And you go out, and I know we talked about it yesterday. Maybe we should have hammered this point home. The guy's got to play more than 15 minutes if you're in a close game like this. If you have flown your team down to a bubble to try to make the postseason, I know that he is your guy you don't want to wreck. He's now coming off being out of the bubble for a couple days. Look, if you're Alvin Gentry, Zion Williams has got to play more than 15 minutes last night in a game where, frankly, if he's on the floor another 5 minutes, you might win this thing. So why am I having my time wasted with some of these teams on the fringe, especially a Pelican team, just to get Zion Williamson on my television more, if in the end we're just going to look out for him only play 15 minutes and the Pelicans really have no shot at making the postseason? It just kind of feels like a slap in the face that we can't just do what the NHL's doing, which is jump right in and figure out a way to start playing a postseason. Because otherwise, we're watching these games that really, really don't matter. And even after the Laker-Clipper game, you know, the Lakers win and they have so much cushion now at this point, you realize, all right, that was fun back and forth, but again, it simply doesn't matter. I just feel like in the end, we are happy basketball's back, but we are getting force-fed some garbage before it matters.
Well, I mean, on one hand, we did get a close game, regardless of how many minutes that Zion played last night. And I guess in their defense, even though they did configure this to get him out there, but the unforeseen circumstance of whatever happened to get him out of the bubble was the problem here. Because without that, he's not playing only 15 minutes last night. So, you know, there's only so many fingers to point here blame-wise, because in theory, up until, you know, the middle of last week, he was scheduled to be out there for forever last night, and maybe in the middle of a dramatic Pelicans win, which they need. They don't have to, you know, mathematically go 8-for-8 down there, but they have almost no wiggle room because of the amount of teams around them and the gap between them and that 9 seed, at least to trigger that weird extra play-in round. But, like, so, like, there's only so much you can say about the way that it backfired, because it was nobody's fault that whatever happened to make him leave the bubble and throw off his conditioning.
But not to be a jerk about conditioning, all I've heard out of Zion Williams is how great a shape he came into this with. He did step away for a week. I mean, whatever he dealt with, I wish him the best. You're telling me he steps away for a week and now he comes back and, you know, he had to quarantine for 4 days. I understand that's a little different. He's not out there running wind sprints and he can only play 15 minutes. I mean, the guy is not 37 years old. He's a young superstar athlete. I know that I am a fat tub of goo at 33. If LA Fitness was open today, could go out and easily give you 20 minutes. Now, I might be laboring at the end. Zion Williamson with conditioning can't play more than 15 minutes last night. I mean, what are we really worried about here, Bogish? What are you worried that, what, he's going to faint? Is he going to twist something, pull a muscle because he's not in that good of shape? The guy had 4 months to get in shape, 1 week away in a 4-day quarantine when he comes back, and suddenly we're so worried about his conditioning? I understand it's the NBA, and it's not me playing up the block at Belmont Park. I understand that. But 15 minutes? The guy could give you more than 15 minutes when you need every game to go trigger making some sort of postseason. Alvin Gentry's completely wasting our time with this year.
Yeah, I don't. I guess the confusion I would have is how they managed the 15, where it was done midway through the fourth quarter, and they just basically wiped their hands and said, you know, see you tomorrow, Zion. There's certainly, I think, room to reassess the way they went about his 15 minutes. And I, too, was like, I felt like we were missing something, because I understand that these guys on one hand are fine-tuned machines and you know, missing 1 day of anything is significant, and he missed a handful of days, but I assume he also wasn't laying on a couch for all of those days eating Doritos. And then when he came back through 4 days of quarantine, I mean, could they not have thrown an exercise bike in his room? I know they gave him a yoga mat and he had some Zoom workouts. He also, again, wasn't being one of us on the couch with chips and dip and drinking beers watching scrimmage games. So,
and even if he was, promise you, there have been multiple days throughout this quarantine where I have watched 4 episodes of Ozark, eaten easily an entire bag of barbecue chips, drank 4 Kona Big Waves, and have still gotten my butt out there, and it might have taken me an hour, but gone 3 miles on some kind of jog and walk. Zion Williamson can play more than 15 minutes as a pristine athlete coming off a 4-day quarantine where he is doing Zoom workouts.
Yeah, I agree. The 15 minutes seemed low for what we know he has and hasn't done in the last couple of days. And then to leave yourself with 0 Zion minutes and no wiggle room, even as that game gets close again and it's back and forth late. I mean, he can't get back in there for the last 3 minutes and try and steal you a win. I was confused as well. Again, the wild card remains this unforeseen break that threw everything off. But still, when push came to shove last night, I'm with you that I can't imagine there weren't 3 or 4 more minutes for Zion to go out there and try and steal this win for them that they need so desperately if they truly do care about getting into the postseason.
Did Alvin Gentry completely waste everybody's time by putting the Pelicans in the bubble only to pull the reins back on Zion at 855-212-4227. That number again is 855-212-4CBS. Also, how did you guys feel the NBA worked? Did you like it? Buzz behind opening night? The fans there? Will you be back? We got 4 games today, although the first game is more of a local game with the Magic and the Nets.
It's 6 games today.
Oh, 6 games today. Okay.
It's 6 games today. I thought it was 4-2 for some reason and then looked at yesterday and it's 6 games today.
So off the top of my head, I know we get the Bucks and Celtics at 6 or 6:30. Then we get the Mavs and Rockets at 9:30. Those games are a doubleheader on ESPN. You get an NBA TV game at 4. And I know you get the Nets and Magic locally here in New York on ESPN, obviously down in Florida as well on Orlando's affiliate. at 2:30. Were the other two games late games? Are they early? Do we have a game before?
There's another 4 o'clock game, which is Suns Wizards alongside Grizzlies Blazers. That's the NBA TV game you mentioned, and then Kings Spurs play at 8.
Okay, all right. So we get 6 games tonight. We jump in, and this is why. This is why when we talked about the national TV aspect of this, the NHL is giving local markets their rights to the qualifying round. I think even the first round, like they normally would have. But if you can't get the game there, you're still going to get the games on the variety of the NBC family of networks. The NBA's, you know, you're playing these 8 games and we've returned. In my opinion, I know you have local TV contracts you need to satisfy. You have an NBA TV network. Find a way to get these games on other than that, like, what is ESPN doing at 4 o'clock? They're playing a baseball game? They can't throw the other game on? TNT, the same thing. How many episodes of Law & Order do we need? We've seen enough. Get these games on national TV. There should be no possible way you miss an NBA game that you want to see in these final 8 games. I'm sorry. We've waited long enough. At all your inventory of television, people are going to watch these games. They're going to watch them. So I would unload the chest just like the NHL is doing if you're the NBA and not make games that you can't find unless you're in a local market. But again, I don't know the ins and outs of all these local TV contracts, but nonetheless, I think the NBA might be dropping the ball there a bit. I cannot let this week finish with this story being swept under the rug because it is so bothersome to me. In the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of, you know, unity in this country and unifying, that there can still be one absolute and utter complete jerk when it comes to sports. And Bogish, that is our not friend Marlins man on the show. Look, if you've watched Major League Baseball, you've seen it, right? If you don't have empty seats, you have cardboard cutouts. But the best part about the fanless Major League Baseball is that Marlins man in his gaudy orange jersey and dumb visor hasn't been right behind home plate for all of these big games on national TV. That's honestly been the biggest win, Bogish, for me of the Major League Baseball season. His name is Lawrence Levy. He's a lawyer from Miami. He's been dubbed Marlins man, and he gets his nose involved into any big baseball game and then, you know, evolved. He's at the Final Four. He's at big college basketball events. And he's still always wearing that Marlins jersey. And I would also say, as a Marlins season ticket holder, how big a Marlin fan are you if you're always at everybody else's games and never at Marlin games himself? So he's been all over our TVs for years now. Years with the same stupid jersey. Somebody at the Action Network decided they were going to interview Marlins man. Why? Because apparently we still have to feed this guy's ego and feed his attention that he has to be interviewed, Bogish. And of course, his interview absolutely freaking infuriated me. All right? And let me just give you a couple quotes and I'll let you comment. He did say he missed being at the games. I can understand that. I will actually give him that. I miss being at the games. A lot of us do, and that's a guy who goes to a lot of them, so I understand when that becomes part of your life, even if we are disgusted with seeing your dumb face and dumb visor, that you miss being at the games because you've made that a fabric. I don't miss you being at the games, Mr. Marlins man, but you do. So now, this guy has the nerve. The nerve, Bogish. The absolute nerve. To say, as far as cardboard cutouts go, he wasn't going to do a cardboard cutout. But, and this is a quote, but I've literally had hundreds of people reach out to me asking me where I am. He then decided, because apparently hundreds of people care about where Marlins man is reaching out to him, he has offered to pay every team up to $1,000, which is significantly more than what the cutouts are going for in a lot of these ballparks. Like, I think the Mets cutouts were about $85 at Citi Field.
86 for the World Series.
Okay, 86. So he's so desperate to have his cutout, not just, by the way, down the third baseline, not in left field, not in center field. No. He wants to be front and center in his behind home plate seat that he manages to get his way into for $1,000. Two teams have said yes and taken him up on the offer, Bogus. The Athletics and Royals have agreed to the offer. Boy, you talk about two franchises desperate for that money. They'll take that $1,000 from Marlins men, stick it right in their pocket. And how about two teams that give a lot of credit? So a lot of teams ghosted him so far, haven't answered. The Reds and Indians, both of Ohio's teams, have already said, no thanks, we're good. We don't need your $1,000 to have your stupid face sitting behind home plate. Ugh. So now Marlins man wants to sit behind home plate with a cardboard cutout. Can we just, the guy has no self-reflection, no ability to understand. He's not that important, Bogish. Marlins man is such a minuscule figure in the world, but he thinks he has so much self-importance that hundreds of people give a damn, give a you-know-what, give a rat's ass where he's been. Where he's been? He's been with the rest of us on the couch, not at Major League games. Why does he feel the need to go flash his money and go, I'll give you $1,000. Make sure my face is on a cardboard cutout behind a plate all over the country for every game. It's madness, Bogish.
I have talked you down from your Zion angst this morning. I tried to counter Jamal Adams being a fake and a fraud. I'm not holding you back here. This guy is just the worst. I need receipts on the hundreds of people who have asked him where he was. Because maybe those were like sarcastic questions that he thought were real ones, and he's misread this entire situation. Yes. I mean, it is a big country, and it's a worldwide internet. I mean, maybe there are hundreds of people who don't hate Marlins man, but I thought the consensus was pretty legit that there was nobody on this guy's side wondering why he wasn't somehow involved in these baseball games or any other athletic event he's been to. So shame on the Action Network for talking to him. Shame on him for talking. Shame on those two teams for taking his money to make a cutout.
All right, Bogish, look, I believe that there are hundreds. In fact, I would actually say, based on the fact that he's been such a pillar of baseball behind the plate, I find it embarrassing that there's only hundreds, and he should take that as, you know, not tens of thousands aren't asking where you are. Because every single time we see him at these games, there's always those stupid fans that go up to him and go, I gotta get a picture of Marlins man. There's Marlins man. Look at me. I'm gonna put it on Instagram. I'm with Marlins. Can you believe I'm with that guy who wears the orange shirt at every game? Look at me, Mom. All right, give me 100 likes on Instagram. Those are the idiots asking Marlins man where he's been. And a lot of people will say Marlins man's very charitable. He's a nice man in person. He donates a lot of money. He's been through hard. He's a lawyer. He has money. So what? Who are we to tell him how to spend his money? That's fine. Maybe on a very personal level, if you sit down to a nice steak dinner with Marlins man and you talk to him, he might be a very nice man one-on-one. That doesn't change the fact that he is an egotistical look-at-me jerk in public. Because if he wasn't, if he just truly was about going to baseball games, traveling the country, wanting to spend his money and live his life nicely, live his life maybe better than some of us could ever dream, that's fine. But when he wears that orange jersey with the name Marlins man on the back to every game, that is a cry for help. That is a cry for desperation. That is the, you know, the kid is a senior in high school whose high school crush didn't talk to him his whole life and is just begging to tap her on the shoulder and get noticed. He is a pathetic, pathetic man when he does it at every game. And then if you want to say, well, who are we to tell him what to do with his money? Obviously, he's a great guy. He's great, charitable. He also had to point out in this interview, and this also makes me sick, because who gives a damn what he's doing with his money? Do you care, Bogish? And if anybody was taking a picture of Marlins man, would you care what Marlins man is doing with his money now that he's not traveling to games? But no, he feels like everybody cares, so he had to tell the Action Network what he's done. You want to take a guess? Have you read the story, Bogish? Do you know what he's done with his money?
I didn't get that far, no.
Okay. Tell me if this makes you want to throw up. Unprovoked, he tells the Action Network. Since I haven't been going to games, I bought a Ferrari and I added 15 more racehorses.
Oh, but okay, good.
But it doesn't replace baseball, so I added a Ferrari to my Bentley and to my Mercedes, and I added 15 more racehorses to bring my total to 80. I don't like condoning violence. We talked about Joe Kelly throwing up and in. If I was granted legally the ability to take my hand open hand and slap somebody across the face without being arrested, it would be Marlins man. In a year, where how many people have been laid off? How many people have been furloughed? How many small businesses have been shut down? How many people are worrying, are they going to be able to survive this another 3 months and keep putting food on the table? Can they continue to make their mortgage payments to pay their rent? How can I avoid eviction? Oh no, is the economy going to come back? Will there be a job waiting for me, or will my company scale down? This guy who's supposed to be the man of the people
flexes in an interview that he bought a Ferrari to add to his Bentley and his Mercedes and added 15 more racehorses to bring it to 80 racehorses. He is basically taking his loogies in his mouth and going and spitting in America's face. Marlins man, here's $1,000. Please put my cutout behind me because my Ferrari, 80 racehorses, my Bentley and Mercedes, as you're struggling to feed your two kids during a freaking pandemic, is what I need to hear about. And I know my line is popping because I'm getting loud. Marlins man is a disgrace. He stinks. He's awful. And we need to stop giving this guy the attention. If you are one of the, quote, hundreds that have asked Marlins man where the heck he has been during the pandemic at a cardboard cutout, you need a reality check on your life because you're just as pathetic. This guy sucks. And the best part about baseball being here with no fans is we don't have to look at his dumb face. I hope Marlins man gets banned from every ballpark. He's a look at me guy. And now he's flexing about how many cars he has and how many racehorses he has as America struggles to pay their next bills. Marlins man is atrocious. Get him out. Get him out of our faces. And if you're the Action Network or you're any other publication that's desperate to do a story, stop talking to the guy. Stop giving him attention because he absolutely stinks.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Take a deep breath.
Get
now
him out.
When you're ready, in your professional voice, I need you to say, I'm Sean Marash with your CBS Sports Minute. And then I'm Mraz. And then if Pete could just package those around a minute of that rant, you'll take one of my minutes off my plate today. I'd really appreciate that. So thank you in advance. That was really well done. I do have one quick follow-up question.
Sure.
Do you think Marlins man, in his never-ending pursuit of self-promotion, do you think he ever went to, whether it's the Marlins holiday party, the holiday party for the law firm that he works at or owns, whatever it is, do you think he ever went to one of those parties, took off his Marlins jersey or his good suit, and then slid down the slide to the bottom floor of said holiday party? Do you think he ever did something like that?
Are you trying to say that me and Marlins man are both look at me characters? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say that Marlins man is Peter Schwartz and you are like Taylor in like a not a size comparison, but the size of the look at me angle.
Here's the difference. I love when people look at me, and I do love attention. I go to 1,000 games bogus. I don't wear neon green hoping people beg and see my attention. And I also don't, in the midst of not being at work and not having people laugh with me, who I usually see on an everyday basis, I haven't gone and group chatted everybody to basically
put a pool in your backyard?
Right.
I'm just okay. Busting your chops, dude. I'm just busting your chops.
Do not compare me to Marlins, man. Do not. Bogus. I mean, literally.
In your
literally,
Kenyon Martin jersey.
We have friends that have been laid off. We have listeners that have been laid off. And he's talking about all the racehorses and Ferraris added to fill his quench for not having baseball. And then wants to talk about what a people's person he is. He's a jerk. He's an absolute jerk.
Dude, he's horrible. He's horrible. Like I said, the teams that took his money should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, they really should. Not to overemphasize this or over-exaggerated, but people shouldn't even pick up his calls. I mean, we've all had enough of Marlins, man. But I can't, your takedown of him was perfect and vicious. I can't add anything to it. All I can do is poke you a little bit for shirtless slides at a holiday party. That's all.
All right. I'm going to take a couple minutes, take a deep breath. I know we had the Mahomes story to get to, and I'm sorry back.
Do those Sports Minute liners for me, too, here, so we can really get on that editing.
Right.
Since, it's a lot to
all
splice them together, so just do it real quick. 3, 2, and 1.
I'm Sean Marash. This is Mraz with your CBS Sports Minute. There you go.
Thank you.
That'll work.
Pete,
head
and tail those. Thanks, bud.
But I did want to bring up this NFL Top 100 list that the NFL does every year that is voted for. We are believed to trust the NFL Network here, and we should, that the peers vote on this. And you compile a list and you get to the top 100. Now, full disclosure, I'm going to compare this the only way I know how to in-house with the DA show. We, every year, have the entire staff of the show vote on the 12 DAs. And there is kind of a sabermetrics analytics approach to it where you know, the least, you know, if you vote something number one, then you vote something number 10, I kind of add up the numbers. So let's say Bogus found a number to be number 9, and I found something to be number 2, and then Pete found it to be number 3. We add up that number, and basically like golf, the lowest scores for, and you have to be eligible if everybody has 5 votes, and it's obviously eligible in the top 12. You get my drift. The lowest score wins, right? And that's how we rank them. But there is a little moving around that goes, and I hate to blow the cover off 12 DAs, but if the top 4 moments all happen to be me saying something stupid I should have learned at school, we don't want that to just be 1 through 4. We will find a way to, you know, slide something else in here just to give it a little separation, almost like a Major League Baseball order would, for separating stuff lefty-righty, lefty-righty. Did I explain that properly on the 12 DAs, Bogus?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So the NFL 100 is supposed to be a straight list voted on by the peers. Okay, you know, most number of votes, number one, down the line. I have a hard time reading this top 5 and think that there wasn't anything done here for dramatic purposes or to get us, people like us, talking about it and people buzzing, because otherwise it's just a list. And the reason I say that is this list comes out, we get to the top 10, and to me, there should be no question on earth who the number one player is, even if it's not the league MVP, who was Lamar Jackson. The number one football player on earth, and frankly, skyrocketing if he's not already there, the number one athlete in the United States is Patrick Mahomes. Yet, Patrick Mahomes was voted number four, behind Lamar Jackson at 1. And even if that was for debate because he was the league MVP and that's why you put him 1, that's one thing. And Aaron Donald and Russell Wilson ahead of Mahomes? Bogus, how is it possible that not only was Patrick Mahomes not number one, that he's voted as the 3rd best quarterback amongst his peers? I find that incredibly hard to believe.
It's impossible, Sean, and I hate lists for a number of reasons. One of them is I have a terrible memory, so for me to make a list of the best this and the best that, it's just not something I'm good at. But they're all just usually they're just a waste of time because whatever reason, they're flawed. So I don't want to get worked up about this, but I mean, there are a couple of things that should be obvious on an NFL best whatever list, that Patrick Mahomes at worst is number 2. If somehow Lamar Jackson eked him out because he was MVP last year and he was great for 16 regular season games and you didn't want to hold the postseason against him, I would probably live with that. I don't understand how Mahomes is anything worse than number 2 on any list ranking any football players. And again, I don't want to be bothered by this, but this has been, what, 3 days, I think? This has kind of been out there.
Yes.
And I keep seeing it, and then, you know, Travis Kelce weighs in, somebody else weighs in, and it, like, re-fires the anger that I just don't get how you could have him. And 4 is not bad in general, but he's not the 4th right. best player in the NFL.
And I do want to make it clear, for those of you who might be listening to this segment who watch the NFL Top 100 Revealing, you might go, guys, this is 2 days old. Why are you talking about it? I truthfully, when DA was off Thursday, Friday, we were looking ahead. With all the sports starting and basketball starting and the Joe Kelly suspension, honestly, this story didn't interest me at first. And it was something I just like, okay, it's a list. But as the days have gone on and more people have commented, like you brought up Travis Kelce, I now am being dragged into this. And part of the reason I didn't want to bring it up is because it almost felt like Patrick Mahomes was for this reason, to get people talking about this list. It's asinine. It's asinine. The NFL Network does an awesome job with these shows, and if you're telling me straight that this wasn't done for TV purposes, then I really have to do a question. Is there jealousy amongst NFL players about Patrick Mahomes' rise to stardom? That's the only other explanation for this. So is Patrick Mahomes amongst his peers not as liked as we think, that we're going to jump Lamar Jackson, Aaron Donald, and Russell Wilson ahead of him? I mean, the guy's the face of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more likely that it was configured for drama to have people talk about it for 3 days to get some pub for the list and for the show. I think that's more likely than there being a weird underlying small-scale Mahomes backlash. Also, too, I mean, what we've learned between these lists and all-star voting is that players don't necessarily know what they're talking about, even though they're players.
True.
I mean, Russell Wilson gets votes just because somebody probably has always voted Russell Wilson, so they just leave the list the way they are, or, you know, they hand this off to somebody else. You know, you send it to whomever, LeSean McCoy, who's in the news because he signed with the Bucks. You know, LeSean McCoy gets this ballot or whatever it is, and, like, gives it to a buddy. Or maybe, like, his son fills it out, and his son loves Russell Wilson. So, like, he puts Russell Wilson there. So there's all these different things that make these lists by themselves. Like, again, they're clearly not anywhere close to being scientific. But then they lead to nonsense like this. And I had the same reaction as you. I saw it. I'm like, this is why lists are dumb. But then it kept coming up and coming up, like, forcing me to be angry about it, that somehow Mahomes ended up at number four on this silly, silly list.
Unbelievable. But there you have it. Is Lamar, so what do you think? Is Mahomes viewed that way amongst his peers or done for drama by TV? At Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogus.
For the last time this week, we get stunned.
Let's go.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And this one today comes from in-house, sent to me by the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kamplin, and it hits on two of our favorite, arguably our two most favorite topics, Florida man and dumb criminals. David T. Hines owns moving companies in Florida. During the shutdown, he received a nearly $4 million loan from the Federal Paycheck Protection Program for those companies and for his employees. But instead of funding paychecks for them, that $4 million allegedly funded a $300,000 Lamborghini, other shopping sprees, stays at fancy hotels. So on Monday, Mr. Hines was arrested for making false statements to a lending institution, bank fraud, and engaging in transactions in unlawful proceeds. His lawyer shockingly defends him. I mean, again, you're getting $4 million from the government in a good idea to help your workers and your company. And not only do you not apparently give it to your employees, but you allegedly have the you-know-what to buy a lime green $318,000 Lamborghini when your bank accounts were in negative numbers before this $4 million came your way. I mean, this guy can't go to jail long enough.
Yeah, I mean, this is where people absolutely suck. And I just, you know, kind of made that ran about Marlins, man, and tied it into everything that the country has gone through and that regular people have gone through. And I got people fighting with me on Twitter going, well, you understand that people are getting more on unemployment. Nobody was suffering here. Look, there are plenty of people that suffered here. Even if you were getting that more money, a lot of times that didn't even add up to the salary you should have been getting in some places. And some people still couldn't even get through to unemployment. So if you, as a business owner, got $4 million and part of it was supposed to go to your employees and you basically thumb your nose at that and go buy a gross lime green, what was it, a Lamborghini? I'm losing track between what.
Yeah.
By the way, is this Marlins, man? I feel like they're making the same purchases.
Is it his son? I don't know.
Yeah, it's so gross. It's so awful. And this is where we just suck as people. If you're one of these people and you get $4 million and you're this guy and the cops have arrested you. By the way, this isn't even the only story like this that's come out from pandemic with people getting these advances on pay. What are you doing, honestly? And also, can you be a little more discreet? Even if you are going to screw over your employees, and even if you are going to take this money and want to spend it on yourself, I don't know, man. Maybe buying a lime green sports car isn't the best way to go about it. I could deal with one or two nights in a fancy hotel, treat yourself as a boss, something like that. It's wrong, but I could at least deal with it. But going out of your way to buy something that everybody's going to notice all of a sudden you got in the midst of this, I mean, have a clue. How do you think you're not going to get caught?
Yeah, I mean, and not to get too far down the road away from our normal conversation, but, you know, it appears that he has also swindled the government, not just in spending this money the way he did allegedly, but also in the fact that he completely oversold the size and the needs of his companies to get $4 million. So,
right.
You know, this program, which has at its heart a good idea and has done some good work, has also, because we've brought it up in the past where, you know, the Lakers got a loan and then gave it back. Other huge entities which didn't seem to qualify as small businesses who needed to be let off this financial hook got money. This guy lied, allegedly, took the money, and then went nuts. I mean, dating websites, hotel stays, food delivery, Ubers and Lyfts. I mean, he just, this was his income, but for all intents and purposes. And it wasn't even I guess the one good thing is, Sean, there weren't as many people as we thought that he might have not given their paychecks
right
to, because everything was exaggerated. But still, I mean, I wish there was a way to tack on punishment just for being extra crappy. Like, on top of the law books and what the statutes say and what precedent says, if you know, whether you're just an idiot or you're like this and just completely soulless, I wish we could surcharge a punishment somehow.
Yeah, these are the worst kind of guys that, yeah, they may not be murdering anybody, but they still certainly deserve more than enough jail time when you absolutely screw people over in a world where we just should stop doing that. And that is your stun to a news. Oh, God. So much anger. It was such a good day, you know? It was such a good day. Marlins man has me full tilt. I think overreacting to anything we saw last night as far as teams that are cemented into the postseason, I'm not talking about overreacting to what Gentry did only playing Zion 15 minutes because that's your season on the line. As far as Lakers-Clippers went, the Lakers without Avery Bradley, without Rajon Rondo, they got a lot out of Deion Waiters last night. They, with Anthony Davis looking the way he did and LeBron being as fresh as we can imagine, he only scored 16 last night. We talked about what we expect from LeBron. I think it's ridiculous to overreact and expect that now we saw the Lakers beat the Clippers in a tight game. That means the Lakers are going to run through the West. I think ultimately you're going to end up with these two teams in a West final, with all due respect to teams like Houston or Dallas or Denver. I think you will end up with the Lakers and Clippers in the West Final, and I think you're going to get a 6 or 7 game series just like we drew it up at the beginning of the season. And I do believe, as it stands right now, that you will get the Lakers coming out of this thing and going to win an NBA championship with LeBron, because I think LeBron will do superhuman things. But I would not base that off of because they beat the Clippers last night. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction between two teams still really feeling themselves off this long layoff.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. It's one of the last things we said yesterday, was that this game last night couldn't have meant that much. I mean, we didn't even think that they were going to try as hard as they did. And they went down to the wire, back and forth, double-digit leads each, had big runs to negate those and get back in the game. Came down to the last two possessions. LeBron scores, Paul George misses. So, I mean, they played pretty hard last night, more than we, again, either one of us expected. But, no, I mean, you can't change too much. I think the things to take away from last night were the Jazz missing Bojan Bogdanovic. That's going to be an issue for them. They miss his size, they miss his skill, they miss his everything he does on offense for them as well. And then, you know, the couple other teams we need to get a look at, like the Rockets, like when they're full strength, what are they going to be like? Is Westbrook okay from his positive test? Like, you know, they have the firepower to bother somebody. But no, I mean, I thought it was going to be Lakers Clippers going into the game last night, and there was no reason to change any of that off of what we saw on the court for 48 minutes.
I would agree with that. Now, would you still say today you think it's Lakers in the NBA Finals, or would you go Clippers?
No, I still think, you know, the what we discussed yesterday with LeBron being at 100% of current LeBron, I think that's going to be a lot to overcome over a series. Now, the Clippers also, too, have to figure out, get everybody back up to speed, because they've had, what, three guys for various reasons leave the bubble and in different stages of coming back. So they need to use these 8 games to get that rotation set, get those guys in the right shape. And then maybe they do have the roster on paper that I think is better than the Lakers top to bottom. But LeBron and Anthony Davis, I it's hard for me to see, especially with LeBron being peak LeBron as we assume, I just don't know that they can lose 4 times in 7 games to anybody.
The return of hockey and the Stanley Cup playoffs, an expanded version, begin from Toronto and Edmonton tomorrow. And Bogey, I know you and I are both psyched up, both pumped up. We love the action on the ice. And a guy who has covered the sport for a long time, played in the sport for a long time, 12-year NHL veteran, hockey analyst, now on podcasting, up in the blue seats for the New York Post, Ron Duguay joins us. Ron, welcome aboard. Happy Friday.
Yeah, hi. Glad you guys decided to use me. I'm missing talking hockey. I do my podcast once a week, but this has been difficult in a lot of different ways for a lot of us. The good news, yes, they get started tomorrow, but I miss talking hockey. I miss talking the Rangers. And I do have to share with you one little thing. I'm a little disappointed, though. You guys didn't bring me in with a little bit of the BG music.
But listen, you have to understand something. We've been doing shows from home in our
our associate producer back at the studio. Asking him to do any extra work right now, Ron, is like pulling teeth. It's not going to happen because we just get thrown in our face. I'm coming into work. What are you guys doing? So if you were expecting Bee Gees music, I apologize. Under normal circumstances, I think we would have took care of you.
Yeah. Well, that is my memories of New York when I first got there was 77, right? And right away I was introduced to Studio 54 and the music and Billy Joel and Rod Stewart and the Bee Gees. And, when I can tap into that, it puts me in a happy place. But I am generally happy right now that hockey's back because so many of us have been starving for it. And I've been on lockdown. The other thing is I'm based out of Florida, which is fine. It's been great. But I miss New York. I miss the energy of New York City. So, but it is what it is, and we got to make the best of it. And we got to stay happy. We got to stay positive. And the Rangers get playing tomorrow, and that's another thing. I'm glad that they were able to be part of the 2014 tournament, and so I'm looking forward to that. Unfortunately, it kind of comes off of losing against the Islanders. But having said that, I think with the Rangers, that was a good test for them to know exactly what it's going to feel like playing against Carolina, because Carolina is going to do their best to try to shut them down.
So let's start right with that series. That's the first, obviously, thing that gets us kicked off tomorrow, Ron, is the Rangers and Hurricanes. Carolina goes to an Eastern Conference final a year ago. You know, kind of an up-and-down year for them, maybe not as consistent as they would have liked to have been. The Rangers really ahead of schedule with their rebuild, a ton of young talent up and down that roster. Obviously, though, injected with the signing of Artemi Panarin, a finalist for the Hart Trophy. The Rangers did sweep the Carolina Hurricanes in the regular season this year. Carolina comes in as the favorites in the series. The Rangers also went 3-0 with Henrik Lundqvist in net behind them. David Quinn was on our night show with Zach Gelb last night and said he still won't commit to whether it'll be Henrik Lundqvist or Igor Shesterkin in net. Okay, let's just start. Number one, have we seen the last of Henrik Lundqvist playing games for the New York Rangers, or will he play? And number two, do you like the Rangers in an upset over Carolina to get the Stanley Cup playoff started tomorrow at noon?
Well, you have to look at the analytics, right? It starts there. There's more to the analytics, but you have to look at it. Why did they sweep them? Why did they beat them those four games and average four goals a game, right, to their two? So you have to point at that, but that's regular season. What happens in the playoffs? Things change in the playoffs, right? And goaltending is going to be key, and it's going to be a short series, and game number one is going to be really important. And game number one in this playoff year is so different than in the past. We've never seen this before. So there's a lot of different things going on, different moving parts, as they say. Do I favor the Rangers? I have to favor the Rangers. Because when you look at goaltending, whether Lundqvist starts or Shesterkin starts, both of them are very capable of winning the series. That's how good they are. And when you look at the Rangers, they're capable of scoring goals. Carolina, their strength is playing good defense. They're strong back on D, although Dougie Hamilton will not be playing. So the experience of Carolina going deep in the playoffs will help them. They're really well coached. But the Rangers, they're a young team, young skilled players that play a little bit fearless. They love to score goals, and that's where it's good coaching comes in. I have a lot of confidence in Coach Quinn. I think he's a really good quality coach for a young team. So my money is on the Rangers. I believe they'll beat them in four, but you just don't know, right? Because you've got to play in injuries and that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting who Coach Quinn goes with starting this series. I'll be good with either goaltender. Here's why. When I looked at how Lundqvist played, when you look at his history, you know he's very capable of being great, right? But last year he lost some confidence, but he looked really good in training camp, and he looked good against the Islanders. But having said that, when you look at both goaltenders and you start this series off, right, that first period is going to be so important. First game's really important. First period is really important. What if Lundqvist starts this and he gets an early goal scored on him? What does that mean to him and his confidence in moving forward in that game? Versus Igor. Igor, if he gets a goal scored on him, I think he would be less affected, would still be able to march on and still play his game because there is a certain calmness to him. I like either one, but I favor Igor only because of what I've seen. Lundqvist, I'm not sure if he would be steady if he doesn't have that first good period.
Ron, I'm going to ask you a more broad question, and I'm going to oversimplify things just for a second. So on one hand, you know, we've got a bunch of teams who are more high-flying, open play, scoring more goals. Then there are more teams that are more kind of shade towards being system hockey. Is either one of those groups of team have an advantage in this restart? Because I've heard people say that maybe the teams that are more like system teams might have a tougher time refinding their stride as opposed to the ones that just want to skate and score goals here.
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. When you look at the Islanders, my goodness, they look in mid-season form. I mean, they shut down the Rangers. They look really good. So there was a real importance for the coaches in their 2 weeks in training camp to be able to nail this down, to have these players brainwashed into thinking, no pond hockey. We're not playing pond hockey. We want to defend first, right? And with some of the teams that have more skilled players, some of those coaches will give them the freedom to be able to kind of be more athletic, more free to do what they want. An example for the Rangers, you look at Panarin, right? He's a freewheeling guy that I think he's got the green light to be himself. When you look at guys like on Pittsburgh, you got Crosby, Malkin. Those guys will be themselves, and they got the experience. But I believe that first game is so important in a short series that you have to try to win that first game. A lot of it will be, how do you defend? How do you play without the puck? So coaches are talking how to play without the puck, but when you do get it, then go ahead and play according to what, you know, we feel our strengths are, which is some teams are more free-willing, more willing to go after it, right? Apply a lot of pressure. So I think it's going to be a combination of little of both, and that's why this series, the first series, is going to be so interesting, or this playoff series is going to be so interesting. It's how you manage ship to ship, period to period, game to game. That's why you like a lot of analysts have said, we don't know really what's going to happen. Once you get past the first round, then you have a better idea. But that first round, you just don't know. So that's why I'm anxious to see what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, what I've seen in these exhibition games, teams have looked really good. Both can score goals and also the way they defended.
Ron Duguay, 12-year NHL veteran, joining us on the show as we're ready to drop the puck tomorrow and resume the NHL season with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Ron, look, no secret, and you alluded to it at the beginning of this interview with playing the Bee Gees. You were somebody who played in New York. You loved the nightlife. You loved to boogie, for lack of a better term. Now we see what's going on in sports with these bubbles, right? We have the bubble plan going on. And the NHL players, before they got to Canada, no positive tests. The NBA players right now, no positive tests. But this is just the beginning of this. We see a Major League Baseball without a bubble. What's happened with the Miami Marlins, and there's all sorts of rumors that they went out on the town in Atlanta maybe, and that's how they got positive tests. Two-parter here. Do you trust the NHL player, and I know there's very strict rules in Canada right now, to have the focus on hockey and not be itching to try to find a way to have some sort of nightlife and be safe and not burst this bubble? Number two, do you think you'd be able to survive a bubble with the sole focus being hockey for a couple months and a run to a Stanley Cup?
Oh, wow, you just boxed me in. Yeah, you know what? When I think back of us going to the Stanley Cup Finals in 79 against Montreal, we would have done better if they would have put us in a bubble and keep us away from all the distractions, because we partied through. And part of what made us hard to play against is that we were together having a whole lot of fun on and off the ice. So, but today's player is so different because they're accustomed to having eyes on them all the time and being careful and taking care of yourself. There's such a premium in doing that, where when we played, we made sure we had our fluids, that we made our fluids our beer, right? Now it's like drink this, drink that, and eat this and eat that. Back then, we'd have a hamburger and three beers, we're good to go, right? So it's such a different environment now. The players are trained differently. Their mindset is different. And so I think it's a much easier for players nowadays, especially in the hockey business, to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And these guys really do. They know that. And for whatever reason, they test positive, they're done. Like, they have to stop for 2 weeks, right? And it may affect the whole team. And you possibly could lose a series because of it. So there's a lot to lose, a lot at stake. And I believe the players are going to be very, very careful. They don't want to be that one guy that went out and gets caught and all of a sudden ruins it for the rest of them. So I would say that, yes, much easier nowadays. It would have been hard back in the 70s, though, to stop it.
Ron, what about the atmosphere, the venues we've seen over the last couple of days for these exhibition games? Do you think it feels close enough to a normal arena? Do you think it'd be tough for you to ignore playing in that kind of setup if you were out on the ice?
Well, I'm believing what the players are saying. Like Kreider was asked about, he says, once you're on the ice, once you're playing the game, right? Ice is ice, hockey's hockey, and you're competing. You want to beat your opponent. And it actually helps you focus a little better because talking is really important and hearing each other is real important. When you hear each other and even hearing your opponents, I think it makes for better hockey because with all the noise, it blocks all that stuff out. But it's when it comes to the bench, you sit at the bench and you're looking out and all the energy is yourselves on the bench. So there isn't that other energy happening that maybe that you can feed off of. But as far as playing the game, being on the ice, it's almost better because I do a lot of alumni games, exhibition games. Of course, now if I play in front of 2,000 people, that's a lot, right? And so once I step on the ice, I want to score as much as if there's 10,000 people. So I think once you get on the ice, it doesn't make a difference. It's just when you get back on the bench, it all of a sudden it feels and it is quiet. So you have to build and work off your own energy. Players have to be talking to each other. You'll hear more chatter from the coaches, more communication. But as a viewer, as I'm watching the game, I'm not noticing that there's no audience there. So I'm watching the game. I'm still enjoying it as much as whether there's 20,000 or no people at all.
Yeah, Ron Duguay, our guest here, 12-year NHL veteran. Ron, on the other hockey front here, we know the NHL, and we see last year the magical run by the Blues. The NHL, more so than the other sports, has so much more room for an underdog to make a charge to a Stanley Cup. And I know everything is going to be so wide open now with an expanded field of 24 teams. Are you expecting this year talent to win out with teams like the Lightning, the Capitals, everybody at the top of the standings? Or do you think there is room for these extra teams that have slid in here to make a run to a Stanley Cup? Do you think this will be a Cinderella year or a chalk year as we embark here in Toronto and Edmonton?
I would say yes and no. When you look at the top four teams, I think they're really, really strong. And so I don't think that those top four teams will be eliminated by a weaker team that just make it as a wild card. I don't believe that would happen except for, you know, injuries, right? And those guys aren't playing in a 3 out of 5. The top teams are not part of the 3 out of 5 series. Normally 4 out of 7, the better team wins. So I'm not really thinking Cinderella story this year or really any year. It's the way it shapes up. Once they get through that first round, I think everything, those stronger teams will adapt. They'll be as strong as they were during the regular season. When you look at Tampa, you look at Boston, you look at Vegas, St. Louis. I mean, those are good, solid teams that are well coached. So I don't see really a wild card beating any of those top four teams.
Ron Duguay, our guest here on the show. Ron, I can't end this interview without admitting something a little uncomfortable for me because as we've been doing this interview, my phone has been blowing up and nothing any son ever wants to say, but you were apparently my mother's biggest crush before she met my father. And there's a chance if she had found you in the right club of New York City in the 70s, I may not be here today interviewing you. So just to let you know how uncomfortable this is for me, my mother, still at her ripe age of 58, is obsessed with you, your suits, your looks, your fashion, and the way you went about things. So thank you for never finding my mother, because thankfully I exist today because she stuck with my father.
What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. I'm saying hi to Nancy. I'm not sure if you're listening, but I'm saying hi to Nancy right now. And by the way, Nancy is younger than I am, okay? So there's still a
Cougar.
Chance. I'm 63.
Okay. So all right, fair enough. Hey, that never stopped anybody, Ron, if you're all old enough. But thank you so much, Ron.
Here's the thing, though. I'm very immature for my age.
Unbelievable. You can catch, if you love if you love Ron like we do, up in the blue seats, it's his podcast. He do it through the New York Post. He's a 12-year NHL veteran. He's the best. Follow him on Twitter, at RonDuguay10. He'll have you covered here. The Rangers Hurricanes obviously starts things off tomorrow at noon Eastern. The Stanley Cup playoffs are here. And, yes, ask your mother if she likes Ron Duguay, because apparently everybody's mother did back in the day. Ron, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
All right, thank you. Well, we can talk again once they move on. They march on past this series, we'll talk again.
Sounds good, Ron. Appreciate it. Ron Duguay, our guest here on the show. Bogus, does anybody need that text from their mother? I love Ron. Tell Ron I love him. What is this? Me with the Spice Girls? I mean, what's going on here?
As long as it ended there, I'm glad you didn't share any of her specific desires about
right,
Ron
right. How
Duguay
about that? If I ended
the
interview, Ron, by the way, I'm here to tell you, you're my father.
It's possible.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
It's your Target Demo Friday, Bogus. Let's kick it off on Twitter. Mike Ruick, Upside Down Mike, tweets in, working at Ground Zero, listening to the reboot of The Pork Store on the SiriusXM app, not knowing if I'm wet because I'm sweating profusely or because of the humidity or because it's raining out. Hashtag, it clears it.
I'm going to make Facebook again this week and start with our buddy Vincent, who's at Fort Bragg listening on the radio.com app. Beam me up, and can I parachute out? Hashtag airborne. Hashtag beam me up. Thank you for listening. And thank you for your service too, Vincent.
How about some Twitch comments on Target Demo? JBF Ghost tweet twitches in. Don't tell Beningo. I don't know what I thought you guys looked like, but I wish I could go back to not knowing. Folks, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, does he wish?
Yeah.
Did he answer me? Is a handsome hunk?
It's not a compliment, but I mean, what took so long to know what we look like? I mean, we post videos all of the time on Facebook and Twitter. We both have pictures of ourselves on Twitter and Instagram. I mean, this should not be an unknown to loyal listeners by now. Even if you've never turned on to watchda.com or Twitch, just regular social media, you should know that we're both handsome men at this point.
You would think. You would think, Bogey.
Krish, wow, I can't read all of a sudden.
Krish
Ashcroft. Ashcraft. Hey, Chris A. Thanks for listening on the radio.com app. And Chris is being a typical ginger and eating a bowl of Lucky Charms while listening to the show. Beam me up.
Bo Bandy twitches in. Hey, boys. Checking in from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. Ask me to find that on a map. I won't be able to. Watching on Twitch for Target Demo Friday. Can't wait to watch Mraz on Madden. I'm sure he could teach the B-list producer and put him in his place. A little shot at Connor Green to end the week. I love it, Bo Bandy.
Brian Edwards is listening in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, listening on his SiriusXM app. He'll be watching Hurricanes hockey while prepping for Hurricane I. I still don't know how to say this hurricane that is churning now, apparently in our direction as well here on Long Island. So get me out. But everybody in the path of this bad boy, be prepared and be safe. And thanks again for listening, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sure that there will be no technical glitches with a hurricane in our face and everybody doing remote shows on Tuesday. Jeff tweets in, working from my home office in South Jersey, doing my best to hold back from munching on heroic, quote, chocolate, quote, end quote, carpet morsels on a rainy Friday. Hashtag, you need to eat like this.
Get a mo.
Jeff is in Buffalo, listening on the radio.com app, getting a pool installed today. Hope they do it right and don't drink all my beer while they do it. Beam me up. Fingers crossed for that.
Oh, I like that. James tweets in, love the show. I love the Marlins man rant too. Can't stand him either. Listening to the show on the radio.com app through my Bluetooth while making my deliveries on my Coca-Cola route in Milwaukee. How can Dasani water 24-pack still be out of stock? Get him out.
Get him out.
Last one from me, Sean. Steven in Idaho on the Next Radio app. He's working on a better nickname than Andrew Boner from my pro boner misspeak recently.
Interesting, Bogus. That is not the way you want to go out on your target demo Friday. I'm going to rip off just a couple more because we got the time, and you guys really flooded us with target demo Friday. We really appreciate you guys listening to the show. Clee Gonzo tweets in, working my 10 to 12 hours as an essential employee, distributing many of your favorite snacks, listening to you guys on the radio.com app, which brings up the question, what is your favorite chip at Meraz CBS? Hashtag puffiness with sodium, hashtag target demo Friday. Funny you asked, Clee Gonzo. It is actually a chip I've yet to been able to get over the last 5 months during pandemic. I think because it's a Canada specialty. Give me the all-dressed Ruffles. That's right. It's the Ruffles with the salt and vinegar barbecue. It's almost like having an everything bagel, but the everything chip flavors all melded into one perfectly crunchy Ruffle. That is my favorite chip, Bogus. What is your favorite chip?
Happy Being Alive Day.
My favorite chip all time? Does a Dorito count? Does a Dorito count?
Yes, of course it does.
Then a Dorito. And it used to be only original, normal red bag Dorito. There is now a place for Cool Ranch, but still, the red original nacho Dorito, that is as good as it gets.
I think much like the Vegas Golden Knights making the Stanley Cup a couple years ago, the sweet chili Dorito is absolutely skyrocketed to the top of my leaderboard there. Alien OG tweets in, and by the way, Alien OG can't stand when we fill in usually. He's a big DA fan. He's Team DA all the way. Good morning, scabs. Trying to listen here in Lawrence, Kansas, printing labels for beer, dog food, and wait for it, monkey food today. You want to try some of this, Meraz? I'll mail you some. I bought a new guitar amp, so I'm going to be pounding beers and shredding all weekend. Cheers! I wonder what... I don't even want to begin to guess what the heck is going on there at pet stores. Lonnie tweets in, Happy Friday, guys. I'm listening on the radio.com app in Arizona at work, getting ready to make meatball subs for the people that want all the veggies on them. You guys rocked the last 2 days. Take more time off at DA on CBS. JK, love the show. Got news for you. He will absolutely be taking more time off, and I am fairly certain that it will be next Thursday and Friday, and you will get Bogish and myself again. Also, to close out Target Demo Friday, I did post earlier, Bogish, we are 4 months away from being around December 1st, which means Christmas music will be in our ears 4 months from today. If you think you know, time is standing still, and Moose tweets in just a gif of Chevy Chase at Christmas Vacation. Tis the season to be merry. And that is your Target Demo Friday. How about that for a wake-up call, Bogus, as July closes and August begins? We are really in a year that has been so weird, not that far away from being in the holidays now. Think about it. We've been cooped up for 4 months. You do this for another 4 months, you're straight in holiday season, man. We will have already carved the bird. Isn't that wild?
Can we make 4 more months of this? I mean, I think I'm doing pretty well at home, but some of us, I feel like, need to get out a little bit more. So let's go day by day here, week by week. I know you love Christmas music far more than I do. We both love Thanksgiving, but I can't have that long range thinking just yet. It's not where my mind's at.
Oh, my mind darts all over the place. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% on credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I'm sure Bogus and I will have one last thought on this full-pack sports weekend and what our favorite watch will be of the weekend. But first, Marlins man had to integrate himself once again, even into our lives while no fans could be at baseball games. I can't take the man. I can't take the image of him. I can't take the quotes he gave the Action Network. It is our epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
If I was granted legally the ability to take my hand open hand and slap somebody across the face without being arrested, it would be Marlins Man.
I'm a workers' comp attorney known as the Marlins Man.
How many people have been furloughed? How many small businesses have been shut down? This guy who's supposed to be the man of the people flexes in an interview that he bought a Ferrari to add to his Bentley and his Mercedes.
I won't run out of money.
And added 15 more racehorses to bring it to 80 racehorses. He is basically taking his loogies in his mouth and going, and spitting in America's face.
It's not going to my head. It'll never go to my head.
Marlins Man, Here's $1,000, please. Put my cutout behind me because my Ferrari, 80 racehorses, my Bentley and Mercedes, as you're struggling to feed your two kids during a freaking pandemic, is what I need to hear about.
It's kind of like going with the Beatles in the 60s, right?
Marlins man is a disgrace.
Okay, but don't tell anybody.
He stinks. He's awful, and we need to stop giving this guy the attention.
I know if you ever read about me, he'd probably be one of my biggest followers.
If you are one of the, quote, hundreds that have asked Marlins man where the heck he has been during the pandemic at a cardboard cutout, you need a reality check on your life because you're just as pathetic.
The Marlins man movement, I'm not promoting myself or a product.
This guy sucks, and the best part about baseball being here with no fans is we don't have to look at his dumb face.
Tomorrow, both you guys do something nice for a stranger.
I hope Marlins man gets banned from every ballpark. He's a look-at-me guy, and now he's flexing about how many cars he has and how many racehorses he has as America struggles to pay their next bills.
I could make $5 million profits.
Marlins man is atrocious.
Okay, but don't tell anybody.
Get him out. Get him out of our faces. And if you're the Action Network or you're any other publication that's desperate to do a story, stop talking to the guy.
I'm sitting in the third row behind home plate on the aisle.
Stop giving him attention because he absolutely stinks.
You got it? Good.
Marlins man is a disgrace. He stinks. He's awful. I hope Marlins man gets banned from every ballpark. Marlins man is atrocious. This guy sucks.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Boy, Bogus, Connor really knew how to pile on all those liners at the end there, huh?
And let it be known that Sean has requested Connor flood our social media channels with all of this video and all of this audio about Marlins Man because he wants Marlins Man to respond.
Yes.
And you want to spend your weekend dueling with Marlins Man.
Exactly. Look, you know how DA has often said there's no reason I need to be, you know, brawling with Mike Freeman? I'm rolling up my sleeves. DA hasn't been here the last 2 days. Come at me, Marlins Man. I want you watching this video, and I want somebody's got to tell you because apparently you're getting hundreds of calls asking where you've been in. I'm going to speak for the thousands to tell you to get lost, buzz off. We don't care about your Ferraris, your racehorses, and paying thousands of bucks. And clap it up for the Reds and Indians one more time. Because the Reds and Indians were offered this $1,000 apiece for Marlins Man to have his stupid face sitting in their cardboard cutout behind the plate. And both said, you know what? We're good, Marlins Man. So if the Yankees are to not win a World Series this year, please let it be the Reds and Indians. Please let good karma follow them for telling Marlins Man to absolutely buzz off. Enough. And also, how about Marlins Man sounding exactly like former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie for some reason? I thought that was Chris Christie cuts. It was Marlin Man cuts. Unbelievable what they sound alike. So, Bogey, here we go. First week in August. We're back. We've had baseball back for a week. Hearing your updates give scores and everything is so refreshing. NBA, NHL, where will you divert the most attention in the sports world this weekend?
I mean, it's got to be hockey. I mean, I've been waiting long and hard for this. Love hockey slightly more than basketball. So noon tomorrow for Rangers, Hurricanes, me and Ron Duguay going to hang out, maybe text your mom. I don't know yet. I think that's going to be a real, it starts with that. Everything after that kind of filters in. You'll learn this soon, I think. I hope once Taylor's old enough to be mobile, and if you add another one or two more, I can't tell you what I'm going to be able to watch. I can claim 1 2.5-hour window tomorrow for Rangers hockey. After that,
sure,
I'll take whatever I can get.
Sure, of course. No, we all have to do the parenting. I get it. My guess would be, and this is, by the way, Bogus, why I made sure there's a TV in my backyard, because even if we're swimming in the pool with the baby and stuff, my eyes are always darting. I'm going to be all over the NBA today. I can't wait, starting with the Nets at 2:30. Yankees, Red Sox this week, and I will be like you. We have a big brunch set up at Bob's Bar tomorrow for the Rangers. Free to take a ride on over to Bob's Bar. The pancakes will be flipped. We'll have a good time. So it's just good for all of you guys who have listened and stuck with us through the really tough 4 months where we really scratched together and had some fun with a lot of stuff we talked about. And we'll continue to do that. All the movies we watched together and everything. Look, we did it all to get to this point. And here we are. It's a weekend. And yes, NASCAR's been here. The PGA has been here. Soccer has been here. But all those things are still here. We have baseball. We have basketball. We have hockey. And we're eventually, hopefully, going to get to football. And this is why we did it for 4 months, to get to this part. Well, it's not why we had a pandemic, but this is why, you know, we stuck with these shows and grinded out so we could get to why you guys listen and why we all love sports together. So I am I'm personally jazzed up. This weekend is going to be a lot of fun. And just, you know, one more special shout out. Mo, we love you. We love you dearly. It was a sad week here on the DA show, and you will always, always be in our hearts. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Excellent job today with those drops at the top of the hour. Kaplan was all over at the Wizard of Watch DA. No mistakes. All over the Twitch. Connor Green outshining as always as a producer. Bogey, I love you, brother. Have a good weekend.
You too. Let's go Rangers. Talk to you Monday.
Let's go Rangers. The mothership disconnects. Have a great weekend, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.